Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everybody, welcome back to the No Bad Days podcast, season 2, episode number 3. I'm Troy McTavish, checking in from Ottawa, Ontario. Let's check in with the other boys. I'm gonna go to Jordan Martin here first this time, mix it up. Marty, looking a little swollen there, buddy. How's everything going?
Oh, not that good right now. I am on day 4 of healing from a high stick to my face that cut the outside of my lip, the inside of my lip. And my tooth is starting to hurt today now.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, I'm just having a hard past few days. And, yeah, that's me here in Winnipeg. Johnny, how's it going?
Yep. We're reporting live from Hamilton, Ontario here. So, it's going good. Marty, it's nice to see that you look like even more of a hockey player now. So, keep that up, my boy. And then, yeah, things have been going good, though, boys. Just getting eager to get back into an actual hockey season, I guess.
Yep, same here. It's been September so far has been slow. Yeah. So Marty, high sticks don't feel good to start with, but there's nothing worse than a high stick in summer skate.
Yeah, in C division.
Take us through it, bud.
It was me and my brother just went to fill in for some guys that we work out with at the gym, and it was just like a C division fun skate first period. Already had a goal, not a big deal. Yeah, I'll pat myself on the back.
Yeah.
And I was just going one-on-one with the guy. Just one-on-one, and I got by him, and then he tried to reach for me as I was by him, and he high-sticked me. It hurts so bad right now.
Did you turn around and, like, say something to him or, like, walk back or anything?
No, because it was instantly pouring everywhere.
Oh, really?
The ice. Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You try and fight him after?
Yeah, how mad were you at that guy?
Yeah, I had some, he tried to apologize and then I didn't accept it.
That's great. That's awesome.
You're just like, no, buddy, just beat it.
But I do kind of deserve it in a way, because during my summer skates, I was skating with younger guys all summer, and I high-sticked one of them in the face and, like, chipped half his tooth and cut his whole upper lip. This was, like, a month ago.
Oh.
He's a WHL player.
Also. Are you being a bully?
Yeah. And I apologize. He accepted it. He was nice about it, but I wasn't.
So a little karma coming full circle.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's all right. But honestly, like, that's like the issue with playing – in certain leagues, I guess, in the summer, or like just going out for fun, is some guys like treat it like that's like their NHL, you know what I mean? So it's they go a little harder than they should be, and some guys aren't the greatest skaters in the world. So the scary players are those guys and the ones that are unpredictable, because you don't know like if they're gonna even like fall and their stick comes up and whacks you in the eye or something. So it's always weird playing in those games. You try not to like put yourself in those situations.
And the funny thing is, I skated on Tuesday with the same team, and the guy that I know, like my contact on the team, got a puck to the face in the exact same spot that I got this cut. And they didn't go get 5 stitches. And I was telling my mom that, and then she goes, "Well, Jordy, you should probably wear like a cage or like a bubble or anything." I'm like, "Mom, it's hockey, like."
No,
it's like it happens. Like if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Then on Thursday.
Yeah,
it happened.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's usually when it happens, is when you're talking or thinking about it or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I always tell my mom when she always tells me to wear a cage and be careful. I'm like, the more you talk about it, the more likely it's going to happen.
Yeah. And like 95% of the time, nothing happens.
No.
But hey, it's not 100. And then it's also shitty. It's also shitty being the guy that like accidentally does it. Cause like we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if I've told this story on the pod before. It was one of my very first junior B games, and we're skating around in warmups doing the butterfly, just shooting pucks. And as I'm feeling good out there, I'm like hopping with energy. First couple games of the season, excited, first time wearing a visor, really. And I wind up to take one of the hardest snappers I've ever fucking released off a hockey stick. And doesn't one of the 20-year-olds just come right in front of me as I'm releasing it, right in the ankle, misses the rest of the game in warmups because of a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
That
wouldn't go over well.
He was not my friend the rest of the season. No matter how many towels I grabbed them, didn't like me.
Yeah, I wouldn't be your friend either.
That's an excuse. Yeah.
That was a tough one.
Yeah, that would be tough on the confidence too.
And especially like because like obviously like you know you guys know how it is like some older guys that if a young guy messes up they could really give it to him, right? And so he was giving it to me, so I thought I'd be a smartass and give it back, and I go, "Well, get the fuck out of the way next time." So that didn't help the situation.
No, that pours gasoline right on that fire.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you do that?
What's that?
I said, and you know what happens when you do that little gas on the fire?
Oh, yeah. You're chalked up, right? You're on the whiteboard.
For yeah.
I got five for that one.
And then
followed up by 20 for being 16. So,
yeah well, that doesn't help either.
Yeah. There's really nothing you can do about the second one.
No.
Just be 17, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just be a year older if you're going to do that.
Yeah, no, I should have been conceived earlier, I guess.
Yeah, that would have helped.
Yeah. Talk to my parents about that one.
Speaking of getting hit in the face, did you guys catch any UFC events this weekend? Or were you guys occupado on Saturday night?
I was occupado Saturday night a little bit, but I got to say quick, I golfed another legit round and I shot 98. So
there you go.
Keep that breaking 100 streak alive.
Yeah. Did everything right. Dropped my balls, took the strokes.
Now you got to, set your sights on breaking 90.
Oh God. Yeah.
Oh,
I will say this is off topic again, but it's just my putting now.
Yeah.
Like I'm actually not bad getting there. And then I just three putt everything.
Well, so, see, if you take out three putts, then you're already under 90 then.
I know. I just got to figure that out.
We'll work on it.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Just got to have some touch around the greens. That's the biggest part.
Get a feel for it.
Yeah, so anyways, UFC was, I don't know if you guys obviously didn't catch any of it, but I didn't really want to talk about the fights too much. I just wanted to see, like, how crazy are these people that are just going in there and duking it out with, you know, basically bare knuckles for 15 to 25 minutes straight.
And essentially no rules.
Yeah.
But yeah.
How often do UFC fighters fight a year?
They fight, I think... Three times is probably the average, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, depending on who it is.
Yeah, I'd say probably anywhere from two to three.
And obviously, like, it's very different, but, like, if you put that into comparison to, you know, guys that played in the NHL 20, 30 years ago, that some guys are bare-knuckle boxing on ice basically 30 times a year.
Yeah.
With direct blows to the face. Not like, and I know UFC, like you could kick a guy in the head and all, but like when you're doing that 30 times a year, like that's insane.
Yeah. Well, the thing about is like, you're not fighting in hockey. You're not fighting for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes straight.
That's true.
and then you're taking a 30-second break, and then you're going at it again, and then you're repeating that again. But I will say that is true. The crazy thing about this UFC was you obviously know who your opponent is well in advance.
Yeah. So
you can prepare for the type of fighter they are. But there was like three or four guys that missed weight at the weigh-ins. So they shuffled everybody around, and like the top three fighters didn't fight the guys that they were preparing for. So everyone was fighting someone different, and they only found out the day before they fight. So they had about 24 hours to prepare, which is crazy.
I did hear that there was some controversy over guys missing weight. One, and this is again just a rumor that I read on the internet. I can't remember the fighter's name, so beg my pardon for that. But he's got like links to he's Russian, I guess.
Yeah, that's Chimaev.
Yeah, there's some like sketchy stuff going around involving Russian gangsters and all that stuff, and missed his weight on purpose. So what happens then is you get fined however X amount of dollars, but you still fight. So you can right. still win your money,
right? Yeah.
So it's there's some sketchy stuff going on there, like kind of bending the rules a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to the fans were mad at the Russian guy after he won because he beat the guy that he ended up fighting pretty easily.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, I just wanted to touch on that. NFL football started this weekend. I know Marty and I tuned into Sunday football. I don't know if you did, Johnny. I don't know if you're as much of a football guy.
No, honestly, boys, and this is such an unpopular opinion, I feel, but I don't think football was made for TV, man.
I agree. I disagree. Man. I think football is way better on TV than it is in person.
Yeah.
It's just so boring.
I enjoyed spending literally the whole Sunday from 12 till 10:30 watching football.
Yeah. Like, you know what? Like,
by myself too.
Yeah. Like that I don't think I could pull off. If you're with the boys and the boys are liking it, I could put up with that 1,000%. And don't get me wrong. I watch football. Like, I understand it, whatever. It's just like the plays are 10 seconds long at best. And then there's like a 5-minute break in between.
And yeah, it seems that way.
It's just like I just can't do it. And you know, I don't care if I get roasted for having that opinion at all. Just I don't see the excitement in football.
Well, do you like watching baseball?
Live, not on TV.
Baseball's boring live too, though.
Yeah, but I don't know. They're just different.
Is it because you actually have a team in baseball that you can root for?
I root for the Jays in the playoffs, I would say.
Okay, so you're really
also every time I go to a Jays game, I'm hammering beers and hot dogs.
Right, so you're getting into the atmosphere.
Yeah, you're getting into it, right?
Right. Have you ever been to an NFL football game, Johnny?
I have not. Have you guys?
Yeah, we went to a couple. I've been to two Vikings
games. Yeah, you guys went to the Vikings games, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say that was a pretty good spot to go for a first NFL game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a sick stadium.
Yeah, like I'll cheer for the Vikings now because I've been there.
This just goes to show like how much I care about football, is because when you guys were there, you guys were on the field because they were playing the Raiders, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a Victoria's Secret model who's a massive Raiders fan who you guys – we're in, like, I was following her on Instagram at the time, and
she still follow her.
Yeah, Josephine Scriver.
Okay, so you don't need to say at the time because you currently still follow her.
Okay, yeah. Anyways, thanks. And then, she was posting pictures right beside where you guys were standing, and none of you guys noticed her.
No, she told us after, and we were like, yeah, there's. You know how you can tell, I wouldn't say you can tell that people are like
someone,
but sometimes you can just tell that they are, like, I wouldn't know who she was, but I knew she was someone.
Yeah. Probably had a lot of paparazzi and she's probably really tall.
No, I wouldn't. She was with another guy, but You know how like you can tell by sometimes the way people dress or how they're acting or if they're just trying to keep a low profile that they're somebody, but you don't necessarily know who they are.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you'll go somewhere and you'll see a hockey player and you don't know who it is, but you know that they play hockey because of just the way that they act. And like,
yeah.
Right. So that was the scenario there. And then you had texted us probably half an hour after that. And we were like, yeah, like, okay. And then you showed us a picture. We're like, yeah, that's her. She was beside us. And you were like, you don't recognize her?
Yeah.
I was like pissed. I was like, fuck, that's unreal.
I was just too busy at that game staring at how big the players were because we were on the field right beside them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I couldn't believe it.
They're beasts, man.
Oh my God.
Have you guys been to an NBA game?
Yeah. I have not.
I went to the Timberwolves game.
Oh yeah, that's right. Those guys, that takes you back. Like when you see a guy that's like 7 feet tall, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not like they can't, like they can move too, like obviously on the court.
Yeah, the NFL players are just like big.
Yeah.
They're like big and wide.
Yeah, they're built like a brick house.
Oh yeah. The linemen are probably massive. Okay?
Right, yeah. You think they get fired up before games and stuff, like in the locker room? Like how, like, you know how hockey players will, like, they'll do the lineup announcements and like you get fired up with the boys in the dressing room. Do you think they do that in the NFL?
I feel like football's not as tight knit as hockey is because there's way too many guys on the team for that.
Yeah, but each team has like their own subgroups, right? Like the O-line guys, offense, defense, special teams.
Yeah, they're all like divide. Like I'm sure the coach comes in and addresses the whole team before games, and like maybe like there's like a, I'm sure there's some sort of pregame ritual involving the whole team, but like I don't think it's like hockey is where everything's very team oriented, in a sense. Whereas like you said, yeah, they have like all their positions that hang out with each other and stuff like that. It's just there's just too many guys. I'm sure those guys don't even, like, half the team, like, doesn't even know each other.
Yeah, that's true, too. I think there's probably players on the team that have no idea. Like, they probably, like, defensive players would probably never, ever talk to the quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, like the second string safety. Do you think he, like, has even, like, the quarterback's phone number? Like, not a chance.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, a group me. Like a group chat or something.
Maybe like a snap at best.
Like, yeah. Hey Tom, you think you could bring me a couple extra things to practice today?
Hey Tom, I saw you sign that new endorsement deal. And I need new cleats. So, yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
Do you guys like it when like, how do you guys prefer coaches to get fired up? Do you prefer like when they come in just kind of like subtle? And then you get the boys fired up after? Or do you like it if they come in all fired up before games?
I think it depends.
I kind of like when they fire you up because, yeah. I don't know.
The coach has to do
what they're saying. What about starting lineups? Like, so for context, in hockey at least, the coach will come in and you have to submit a starting lineup for each game before. And then normally either the coach yells it out in the room. And that's like kind of when each team will have their own little individual thing. Do you guys like it better when the coach does it or when players do it?
I like when the players do that.
I like it when the players do that too.
But I like when you do it and you had the good beat to it.
Yeah, I did it. I don't like doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on the player.
Yeah.
Because there's guys that are more quieter or not as outgoing. Everyone's in, like, their mood before the game. So if you get a guy that's, like, too serious before the game, it's not going to be a very good lineup read.
Like you, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not good at it.
Have you ever done it, Johnny?
Yeah, I did it. I did it when I was injured, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
And then maybe once, second year.
Yeah, the good thing, though, if you get the lineup and then you win, you know you're in the lineup the next game because you're keeping the streak alive, so you don't have to worry about getting sat out or anything, right?
Yeah. like, coach, why would you mix that up?
Yeah, right. They don't want to change anything, right?
Yeah,
right.
So exactly. That's coach, not Rook, always the case, but
I was dash five tonight and we won, so you don't gotta take me out.
Yeah. I was, funny story, I was actually just talking to my brother who's in BC right now, and he had a game on Saturday last week, and I was watching the USC fights. I didn't catch his game. Thank God I didn't catch it, because they lost 12-0. And he said that they only had 4D and 8 forwards because they had guys away at other camps, and guys were sick and stuff, I guess. So they were short-handed, but he was reading me his stats for the game, and he said that he was minus 8, which means he was on for 8 goals against 8 of the 12.
What?
Yeah, so I said, bud, that's not, like, you should probably just wipe that one and never think about it again.
Is that preseason or regular season?
No, it was the second game of the regular season.
Oh, my God.
So that's on the stat sheet, eh?
Yeah, so, it's going to be tough to dig your way out of a minus 8 hole.
Well, you know what? I think on that one, you can look at the context. But dash 8's pretty tough. But
what's the most minuses you've ever taken in a game?
Oh, in junior, my 19-year-old year, I think I was dash 4 or dash 5, one game.
Yeah, I've definitely had a few 4 and 5 games.
And then, I think 5 is my worst, probably. Yeah.
And the one, it was literally it was so bad. It was 3 shifts in a row. Me and my D partner got scored on.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Like, so we're out there, you get scored on, taken off. 2 other D pairings go, we're out again, score, back through the rotation again, boom, scored on. And then the best was, our coach came all the way down from, like, the other side of the bench, looks at me and my D partner, he goes, you guys, like, finished, or, like, you guys done getting scored on tonight, or? And we're like, I
don't know.
We looked at him and then, like, just kind of looked back at the ice, because, like, saying nothing to that is probably the best answer that you can give.
Yeah, or because, like, if you tried to justify it, then they'd get pissed, probably, you know?
Yeah, like, you can't make excuses, and you definitely can't say, yeah, no, we're done tonight, coach.
Yeah, because then if you go out and get scored on again, then you're chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, on top of sounding like a huge loser, so.
Yeah.
I know, yeah, we're good.
I went minus 2 on one shift before. It was against It was against Tyson Jost. He's playing for Minnesota now, but
yeah.
I played against him 1 year in junior. And I got out there at the end of his shift. He ended up scoring on us. I was like, oh God, like, whatever. Then went to the faceoff. He stayed out. We won the draw, then we iced the puck, so he couldn't change, because I'm not supposed to be out there against him. I would have been taken off immediately. Got iced it, came back in our zone, they won the draw, scored minus 2 on one shift, and then I think that was my last shift of the game. It was like the second period.
That's tough.
Yeah, so I rode some pine after that. My first year didn't play too much, but me and the backup goalie, when I was on the bench with him, I'd sit beside him and he'd have, like, Skittles and stuff, and we'd just kind of sit there and snack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just yuck it up.
There you go.
A little bit of extra padding in your elbow pads for leaning over the boards.
Yeah, I had to – I would just sit there, and then if there was, like, a penalty that needed to be served or something, I would normally go over and sit in the box. and then I'd get a shift when I came out of the box. I'd, like, normally be able to go skate around and then go back to the bench after.
What's if you guys can say, what's the worst a coach has ever ripped you?
Oh yeah, I got a good one. I'm not gonna mention the coach's name.
Yeah. You can leave out names or team, whatever, because, like, then that's easy to narrow down, but
okay, so mine was not in college, so that takes out one coach, and I'll say that just because people will be able to think that's in college, but it wasn't while I was playing college hockey. It was in junior, and we had a really good player on our team, and he was getting kind of, you know, the other team was taking runs at him and stuff, and I was actually the youngest player on the team at the time, and after the first period, the coach came in and kicked over the garbage can. He was so mad that players were taking advantage of our best player. And the garbage kind of flew all over the place in the dressing room. And I was just sitting there. I hadn't played very much in the first period. So I had literally no outcome on the game, and it wasn't my fault. So I was literally just sitting there kind of like tuning it out, and he was screaming. And then he like made eye contact. I was like, I have this thing. Like if a coach is talking, I try to make eye contact with them, so they know I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
That way they won't single you out if you look at them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That absolutely backfired on me, because I looked at him. He made eye contact with me and started screaming, "Who's going to do something? Who is going to do something?" while he's staring at me. And he walked. And as he's doing this, he walked over to me and got in my face and was screaming to the whole room, "Somebody's got to do something. Somebody's." And then he grabbed me by the shoulder pads and was like, "Somebody's got to do something." Staring at my face. So anyways, that went on for probably 1 or 2 minutes, and he left the room, and I never felt more single in my life, because he left the room and everybody in the room was staring at me. So I was just looking around, and I was like, well, I guess I got to do something. I said that out loud, and then everyone kind of started chuckling, because like, it's one thing for the coach to think that, and then the guys are kind of like, you know, yeah, you're right, but like, you know, no one's going to be like, yeah, you need to go out and do something, you know, if you're on the team. So I was like, I guess I'm going to go do something. And then we were on the bench the next period. There was an icing call, and this player that was taking advantage of the guy was on the ice for the icing. So he threw our line out, and he's like, he just looked at me and like gave me a nod. And I skated across the ice before the faceoff even happened in the icing. And I cross-checked him and dropped my gloves and started like punching him. And he didn't drop his gloves, so I didn't like end up getting a fight. I just got a 2-minute minor and a 10-minute misconduct, and he got the same. So it was like he was off the ice for 12 minutes, but so was I. And that was like my first or second shift of the game. And so I served my 12 minutes in the box. I come back at the end of the period. Like there's like probably 2 minutes left. Coach walks down to the bench. I'm just sitting there like kind of defeated, and he just taps me on the back. He goes, "Attaboy." So I was like, so pointless.
You're like, so on first line now or what, coach?
I was like, so can I play in the third maybe?
That's awesome. I remember my 18-year-old year. Well, there was two incidences in junior where I got ripped pretty good. The one I can't really say, it's pretty bad, but the other one was my 18-year-old year in like junior B and junior A in Ontario, we have the red line rule. Do you guys ever have that?
Like two passes before the blue line, before the red line?
No, like in warm-ups.
Oh, in warm-ups, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So like,
across.
Like if you cross the red line, you serve a 10-minute penalty right off the bat. Sorry, not 10. You serve a 2-minute penalty, like you start the game 5-on-4.
Yeah, you start on the penalty kill.
And so I knew this rule, but we were playing in Guelph one night, and my stick was in the air, and I'm skating past the red line in the air. My stick, I guess, went over the red line.
Yeah.
I skated by it, and the ref comes up to me in after warmups and goes, "Hey, just to let you know, you got two." And I go, "Oh, like for what?" And then he explained to me, I'm like, "Oh, okay, no, that's awesome. That's great." And then, so we get in the room, and I was just like buried automatically by like the whole coaching staff. Cause it was like a pretty important game. We're making a playoff push, and fuck, like just like your third year in the league, you idiot. Like what the fuck? Like, do you have any consideration for the team? Like all I did was skate by the red line. You know
what the funny thing is? That happened. Wow. That same thing happened to me.
Yeah. In my
first ever junior hockey game.
Yeah.
I got called up as an affiliate, and it wasn't the red line rule. It was the you have to be off the ice in warmups by the buzzer.
Oh yeah.
And did you know that though?
And no one told me. And see, the funny like, that's thing not is, on you. That's so I'm. Yeah, I didn't get ripped for it.
Okay.
Because the coaches were like, "Okay, like you didn't know."
Yeah.
But no one told me, and in the league I was playing in, where I was normally playing, not called up, the pucks were on the ice after warm up. Somebody has to pick them up. There's no one that comes out. So
yeah,
at the end of the warm up, everyone else is off. I'm there picking up pucks, trying to be like a good young guy, trying to like, you know, the buzzer goes and the refs look at me and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm picking up the pucks. 2 minute two minute minors start the game. First game, I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, I know. It's like that. I remember like hearing about these rules for the first time. Like, I think the most ridiculous one was if you undo your chin strap.
Yeah.
That's a one game suspension.
Yeah. Like, come on.
In Ontario, which
I think look good out here.
Like, you could smoke a guy from behind or you can undo your chin strap and get the same penalty.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Stupid how those rules work.
But yeah, it's but there was one too. We lost a game. I think we lost 10-2 one game. And our coach came in and he's hooking up his laptop to the TV in the room to like go over game footage like in between periods. And he got so pissed that he went to slam his laptop, but realized that he's holding his laptop in his hand. So he had all this momentum and he came down so fast. And then as he got like to the floor, like he like just put it down gently and put it on top of a goalie pad. And so like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Right.
And so he leaves because I think he was a little embarrassed, and someone went in the trainer's room quick before he could come back in before the start of the period and put two band-aids like in an X on his laptop.
Oh my gosh.
And that didn't go over too well.
No, I can imagine that probably wouldn't
fly. That's very, 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 very funny, but not at the time. That was a tough one to witness.
Was it you?
Oh no. I would never do that.
We used to the same coach that I talked about before, we had won 10 games in a row.
Yeah.
And that's a long winning streak in junior. Like, that's a long winning streak for anyone in hockey, really. 10 in a row. In the 11th game, we lost in overtime at home. So we came into the locker room and we were like, okay, boys, like, you know what? We won 10 in a row. We lose in overtime. You know, who really was going to get mad at us, right? We still got a point. We didn't lose in a bad way.
He's gonna get mad at us.
So we're trying to somewhat justify losing this game, which is fine, like whatever, you know. And the coach always would come in after games and write the team curfew on the whiteboard so that everyone knew the curfew for that night. And like nights that you would win, it would be at home by 1 a.m. If you lost, it would be in your bed by 11. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that kind of thing.
You better be under the sheets at 8:30.
So our coach comes in. And I guess he had heard us kind of talking like in the room, and he's like, you guys think it's okay to lose? I fucking think it's okay to lose. And then he turns to the whiteboard and we're like, oh boy, it's going to be a 10 o'clock curfew tonight. Uh-oh. And he writes on the board, 5 a.m. bring your running shoes. So after winning 10 in a row, we had to show up the next morning on Sunday morning at the rink at 5 a.m. And he was in his truck and we had to run in front of his truck. And he's like, don't let the truck hit you. And we just had to keep running around this park until he was like, yeah, okay, we're good.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
But like, it was like as shitty as it was like so much fun to be running. Like, you weren't running fast, so you didn't really get tired, but it was just more of like a mental battle. But like, you'd just be like shooting the shit with someone beside you and everyone would be making jokes about how miserable this is.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good. Like, that's
kind of the best part of those punishments is just like doing it together to the point where you're almost like, fuck, like screw you.
Yeah.
And they see that you're having a good.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The time.
Like a metaphorical middle finger to the coach a little bit. And
yeah,
those skates were cool, because then obviously, like, when you're doing that in junior, especially, like, you look at the older guys and, like, see what they're doing. And I remember I learned a pretty tough lesson. One bag skate when I was 16 is I was just going balls to the wall during this bag skate. And it was one of those where, like, you go as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just trying to set the tone.
Oh, yeah.
We get back to the goal line, and I just get a fat two-hander right on top of the laces from an older guy. And he goes, "It's all right to slow down." I go, it clicked, and I was like, "Oh, okay, got it. Sorry. Thanks, Lo."
The thing about those is, like, you want to, depending on your position on the team, you want to show that you're engaged and that you're willing to, like, accept the punishment and try your hardest.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, like, you're not it seems weird to say, but you're not trying to, like, make other guys look bad at the same time, or you're just trying to do it at, like, the point of it's to do it together.
Yeah.
So,
like, yeah, you're walking a fine line of trying not to piss off your coach and trying not to piss off your teammates.
Yeah.
And especially as a young guy, that's a very fine line in certain situations.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that was pretty funny. Just a big fat two-hander. But again, you learn at that age, right?
It's okay to slow down
as you get older. Yeah. Oh, I was a lot slower after that one for sure. But as you get older, like, it's not that, and it, again, the message is not to tell guys not to try hard in practice.
Right.
It's just keep that steady pace and pace yourself, because you're getting big.
Right? Yeah.
So,
you guys ever seen those videos on TikTok? They've been coming up on my For You page all the time. It's the people that do the cave diving for fun.
Oh, and it's the guy in between pillows.
Well, no. Well, I've seen that guy. He makes a joke about funny. It. But yeah. These people go into caves that are, like, the size of their body, and they just try and crawl through it for, like, hours and hours on end. Like, how is that fun in any capacity?
I haven't seen those yet, but I'm sure.
I don't understand how you don't have a heart attack and die of, like, claustrophobia.
Yeah, well, there's one there. The one the guy says, "Oh, my body can't fit through this hole when I breathe in, so I gotta exhale and then crawl through."
Yeah.
Like, normally that would be a sign, like, to go back.
Yeah. Or, like, if someone says, like, "Hey, do you want to go in that just under your body sized hole?" I'd be like, "No, it's okay.
No, I'm good."
Yeah. How about we just, like, go for a walk?
Yeah, or a hike or something.
Going to a fucking cave like that. Are you kidding me? Can you imagine the bugs? Imagine the bugs in that cave.
I don't think there's just so much that can go wrong.
Yeah. How about a tarantula crawls on your face and your arm isn't small enough to come up here and do this and wipe your face while you're in this cave, and your buddy who's ahead of you hasn't moved in 2 hours.
Yeah. And he has to kick you in the head the tarantula gets off.
Yeah, exactly.
Because in order to get to the next level, you have to lose 2 pounds to fit through the hole. So you need to wait.
Yeah. You need to piss yourself.
You need to just wait till your body metabolizes 2 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the most insane activities you could ever ask me to do. I would jump out of a plane without a parachute before that, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, I would skydive for sure before doing that.
You know, the skydiving when they have, it's not a parachute, but it's like the suit that has the wings on it where you just glide through the air.
Oh, yeah. What are those called? Glider suits or something?
Something like that. I would do that before I would go cave diving.
Yeah, and that doesn't seem like the safest thing to do either. So
no. But at least if you screwed up, like, you know, you wouldn't feel pain because
you're just done.
You would just be done.
Instead like, imagine of just waiting there in the cave. Like, yeah. You're just waiting to I guess, die because you got stuck. Because you're
someone to rescue you.
You decided to crawl in a hole in the middle of a mountain.
Like, imagine getting rescued. Who would even rescue you?
How do they get you?
Yeah, like, would it be the Coast Guard or, like, a fireman? Like, imagine how pissed they would be if they had to come get your ass in this cave.
Yeah. They'd be like, oh, okay, you're in the middle of a mountain.
And how do you call them? Like, do you have, like, an Apple Watch?
Can't call them.
Dial.
You gotta let someone know where you're going before you go. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, hey, I'm going here. I'm going here. If I'm not back in, like, a day.
I'm stuck.
I'm stuck, yeah. Okay. Things did not go to plan.
Yeah, then they're trying to look for you in the caves, and you just come out behind them, and you're like, what are you guys doing? Like, yeah. Like, why aren't you in there? Oh, you're like, oh, I just went for lunch.
Yeah, you're like, well, yeah.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, I got to eat. No,
I was stuck, but I got hungry.
No, but the guy,
and he's like, where's your buddy? It's like I said, I got hungry.
The guy on TikTok that makes fun of that is actually hilarious. Like, he just like stuffs his face in between pillows and goes, oh, what's up, guys? Yeah, no, my buddy actually, he hasn't moved for 4 days, but he's hilarious.
So have you guys seen have obviously seen the movie Good Will Hunting, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So I have this link, and I'm sending it to you guys right now, and I saw this video today about acting, and I want you guys to read a passage trying to do your best Good Will Hunting Matt Damon impression.
Oh, it's my lookalike, so I'm sure I'll nail it.
Yeah, exactly. It's the second paragraph. It's the one on the left.
Clark?
No. Sorry, it's the one on the right.
Will?
Yeah, Will. It says, of course.
That's a long line.
Yeah, it's a long line.
I'm not a good reader, and I'm a stutterer.
That's the point, though.
Okay. Well, an actor learns their lines.
No, but this is like a reading. This is like a script reading, so that way it's in front of you.
Do we have to do the Boston accent, too?
Yeah, you have to try and do the South Boston accent.
Anyway.
I'll give you guys a minute to read it. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll read Clark's first passage, and then you guys you guys will each take a turn doing that passage of Will.
The same one?
What?
The same passage?
Well, unless you want to do the really long one.
Nope.
Nope.
The funny thing is, like, this is going to be so hard because, just so everyone knows, I'm the guy with the ponytail in the bar that has gone to Harvard or MIT or whatever. And Johnny and Marty will be playing the role of Will. And he's a genius, but he doesn't have any sort of formal education. So you guys are doing like a more rough accent, and I'm like a snooty college student.
Okay,
who's going first?
I just have one quick question, professor.
Okay.
The one word after Will says, you just got finished reading some, what's that word, that M word?
Marxian historian,
like Karl Marx.
Okay, should I know who that is, Johnny?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't.
Thanks for chiming in there, Johnny. This is just because we're not in school anymore, guys. Just doesn't mean we can't keep our brains sharp, right? So this is why we're doing this, and people are gonna get entertainment out of hearing us read. And yeah, okay. So who's going first? Because I'm ready to read my passage.
All right, I'll take a crack at that when it says, of course.
Okay. So this is when they're starting to have a problem with the guy at the bar. And the ponytail guy says, his name's Clark. He says, no, there's no problem here. I was just hoping you might give me some insight into the evolution of the market economy in the Southern colonies. My contention is that prior to the Revolutionary War, the economic modalities, especially in the southern colonies, could most aptly be characterized as agrarian pre-capitalists.
Well, of course, that's your contention. You're a first-year grad student. You just got finished reading some Marxian historian Pete Garrison, probably. You're going to be conceived of that till next month when you go read some James Lemon. And then you're going to be talking about how the economies of Virginia and Pennsylvania were entrepreneurial and capitalist way back in 1740. That's going to last until next year. You're going to be in here regurgitating some Gordon Wood, talking about, you know, the pre-revolutionary utopia and the capital forming effects of military mobilization.
Wow. That was
good.
That was so good.
Not bad, eh?
That was so good, Johnny.
You definitely conformed yourself into a Bostonian there.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Into Mr. Hunty?
That was really good, Johnny. I'll give you credit where credit's due.
I think my next step is I'm just going to go to the University of Toronto and go find a chalkboard to like do some math equation. But it'll be like some simple bed mass, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes I do that if I'm bored around here. I'll go to a school and find the equations that the teachers have left on the board, and I'll just solve them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just go to like an elementary school. And
yeah, I was going to say, then I'll leave the grade one class and move over the hallway to the grade two class and just keep working my way up.
Yeah, just to show them like you're not where we are, kid.
Just put them in their place.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we go to gym class and we just bully them.
Yeah, like Billy Madison. Yeah. Now you're all in big trouble. All right, Marty, you ready?
Oh, I don't know if I could top Johnny, but yeah.
No, you got this, bud.
Keep in mind, Marty, you have a sore mouth, so people will give you a bit of a...
I might turn the sound down so I can't hear you guys laughing, though. Or else it's going to make me laugh.
Okay, I'll read my passage again so that way you can have some flow to it, okay?
Yeah.
No, there's no problem here. I was just hoping you might give me some insight into the evolution of the market economy in the southern colonies. My contention is that prior to the Revolutionary War, the economic modalities, especially in the southern colonies, could most aptly be characterized as agrarian, pre-capitalists.
Of course that's your contention. You're a first-year grad student. You just got finished a Marxian historian. Pete Garrison, probably.
That was pretty good.
Oh, fuck, I had it.
And it turned a little British at the end, but that's...
Yeah, I don't know where I was going.
You doing an impression of my dad or something?
I don't know. I feel like I turned into a bit of a gangster there.
Yeah, there's a couple different accents there. That was good, though.
And my lip is hurting so bad.
Okay, well, we'll let you off. If you want to continue, you can. If you don't, we'll cut it there.
I don't think I'm beating Johnny on that one. We'll do that. We should do that again, though.
We'll do that again next week. We'll find a different movie, different accent.
Sure.
It was fun, though. I had a good time.
We could do that. What's that one movie where he's like, you know what? Never mind.
Oh, okay.
Never mind. You can't really say what's that one movie and then expect someone to help you out, right? So
right, yeah, no, that doesn't work that way.
So I'm gonna soak that one because that was a brutal thing to say. But yeah.
All right.
Moving on this week or what?
What?
We got a couple questions this week or
yeah, we do. It's actually our new segment called Holding Court.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. And I got that name because of you know, back in the day, we used to do court in the dressing room and we just sit around and tell stories and questions. And, you know, so I got the name from that. And we got a couple questions here we'll do this week. We'll do three and then we'll move on to our final segment of the day and then we'll call it.
All righty.
Here's the first question.
So I'm not sure if this is in time for the podcast tonight, but greetings all the way from not so sunny South Africa. What has been your favorite moment of summer thus far, seeing as it's coming towards the end? Love the content. Can't wait to see more.
South Africa.
What was the question? I couldn't quite hear that.
What was your favorite part of summer so far?
I'm going to say it was Disney for me.
Probably going to an NHL Stanley Cup final playoff game. Never thought I'd ever do that in my life. So probably that.
Yeah, that'll be mine too, because I didn't go to Orlando, so mine can't be Disney.
And that was my first time at Disney, so. And I rode all the rides.
I probably would have picked the Orlando trip if I went on it.
Marty, that sounds like a kid, like in like grade four, he's coming back, just kind of like boasting to all his friends. Yeah, I went to Disney with the fam this summer. Rode all the rides, by the way.
Got some Mickey Mouse ears.
So I want you all to go home and like just think about that.
Yeah. I did everything.
Yeah, my parents even bought me one of those fans, you know, keeping cool.
Yeah, and I got Mickey's autograph. So what'd you guys do this summer?
Even got a picture with Goof.
Hi guys, my name is Meg. I love your podcast. I think you guys are so funny. I have two questions. My first question is, do you still have the P.O. box in Superior? I know Johnny is still playing.
Pretty sure we heard that one last week. My bad.
Cut.
Clicked on the wrong one. No, it's okay. We don't need to cut it because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't even matter.
Hi guys. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Since the holidays are coming up, I wanted to ask if you guys had a favorite holiday and if you had any traditions that you do with your friends or family. Also, Taffer, don't give up on learning how to drive stick. It took me like a month to master it, so I can tell you it gets easier with practice. Good luck and love you all.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I guess
I've already given up. So
I guess Thanksgiving's in like 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Canadian Thanksgiving, yeah. So that's
we call it Thanksgiving. Americans call it Canadian Thanksgiving.
Okay, but I was giving context for our American listeners because they would be like, they'd be like, Johnny's such an idiot. He thinks Thanksgiving's in a couple of weeks.
That's what happened first year. Is someone's like, it was like some not a holiday, but like some like special day in the States. And someone's like, does anyone know what day it is? I'm like, yeah, it's Thanksgiving. And the teacher looked at me and she goes, oh, no, sweetie, it's not. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, thanks.
Canadian, by the way.
What is your guys' favorite holiday, though?
Christmas.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah, you can't really beat Christmas. I think that's like when most families are able to spend the most time together. Really.
Like what tops Christmas?
I used to like Thanksgiving a lot because we would go to like my uncle's place, which would have a lot more family than we would normally have at our normal Christmas dinner. But obviously I haven't been home for Thanksgiving in probably 8 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, Thanksgiving's kind of not been the same, but I also like Thanksgiving traditions we had at school where we'd do a Canadian Thanksgiving every year. We'd cook our own food and stuff like that. That was always fun. But yeah, Christmas for sure.
Yeah, you were the turkey master every year.
You were.
I knew how to work the birds over pretty well.
Yeah, you kept the birds moist, that's for sure.
What would we always try? The heart and the neck.
Yeah, you gotta.
And what else was there?
There's a heart, the neck, the liver, and the gizzard.
Yeah. The heart was interesting.
Yeah, the liver's not very good.
No, the liver tastes, it's got a weird texture. Yeah,
it's like a creamy texture.
Yeah, it's like biting a weird protein ball.
What's your guys' favorite part of the turkey? Are you white meat guys, dark meat guys?
Dark meat all the way.
Yeah, I'm dark meat.
Dark meat, 110%.
Really?
Yeah, white meat.
Like my turkey nice and dry.
Yeah, I figured. Like the Griswolds Christmas when they cut the turkey and it's just bones and it screams. That dry, like chips.
Yeah, I like it. I like it like that.
That's awesome.
With lots of gravy and potatoes and pierogies.
Yeah, pierogies are something I never had at Thanksgiving before I met you.
Yeah, me neither. Never. And I'd never had mac and cheese on Thanksgiving before either.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
That's like weird.
They're just too much. Like you got to get the mashed potatoes and gravy, and then that's just kind of enough carbs.
Yeah.
And then you can have your like potato casseroles or whatever, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We usually have a lasagna.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Too. Of course. Okay, should we introduce that last segment?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to need you guys to get a pen and a piece of paper. So how it's going to work, there you go, Johnny, you're already ready to go.
I also have one right here too.
Perfect. Okay, so how it's going to work from next week on, we're going to have someone on as a guest. And this segment's called Are You Smarter Than a Hockey Guy? And it's basically going to be questions. Nice.
I doodle sometimes when we're on here.
You drew that?
Yeah.
What is that?
Just scribbles.
You should get that tattooed over your current tattoo on your shoulder.
Dude, that looks like kind of sick though.
It's literally just scribbles.
It looks like a bridge.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you're out there. Yeah, that's the interpretation I was going for.
That's the best thing about art. It's in the eyes of the beholder, right?
Yeah. Right.
And yeah. The people that are buying it too.
Oh, can I tell a funny story actually?
Yeah, you could. It's an open mic night, so.
Sorry about that, because I know you're about to just get into the last segment here, but me and my dad were at an art gallery one time.
Why?
Downtown. Because I had a cousin who had something on display there.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And so, like, we all went, and, like, me and my dad are, like, walking around and stuff like that, and, like, we're looking at these sculptures that people are just made, like, and, like, the one sculpture was literally like these pieces of wood, like in a frame.
Yeah.
And then with strings, like these metal wire things in a bowling ball.
Mm-hmm.
That was the sculpture.
Okay.
And we're like we started like laughing because it's like, what is it? Yeah, like we were just laughing because like it, and with all like, and don't get me wrong, I don't mean to chirp this, like I appreciate art just as much as the next person, you know, I love myself a good painting for sure, but like a couple of these sculptures were like a couple crushed pop cans or like stuff like that, and like just hearing like all like the, because they were students in an art program, so like hearing them all like explain like their thing, not all of them but maybe like a handful of them were like, oh, it's up into interpretation and stuff like that. And
yeah,
it's like funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, it means something to them, but then to you, it looks like you just like kind of pulled it out of the recycling bin.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like it looks like it's something that fell off the Mandalorian and Back to the Future.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But that's the thing about, I think they call that type of art abstract, if I'm not mistaken, where you can just, it's just random.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I made that up, I think. But anyways, yeah, yeah, there's just art where you'll look at it and be like,
I think we should do that. We should do a boys trip to like a modern art museum and interpret some shit. I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah, okay. A good use of our time.
Yeah, see you there.
Well, it's better than mossing out on the couch, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Not really, but
actually. Yeah, couch time is pretty good.
We should get someone to paint a picture of us on the couch for couch time, and that's what we'll call it, couch time.
And then we'll hang it above the couch.
Oh yeah, that's true. Fuck. And then in the painting is someone painting the picture of us painting the cat. So then it's just like a mirror that looks all, you could see like 100 of us getting painted in the couch.
And then while someone's painting us, someone should take a picture of them painting us.
Yeah, so that way we could just have it digitally.
Yes.
And then we wouldn't really need to look at the painting.
And then we could hang both of them side by side above the couch.
And see which one's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be sweet.
Yeah, I think that would be good too.
And then we could like sell it.
Yeah.
For like millions of dollars.
And then we'll do this last segment at some point.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I dropped my water. Okay, so this last segment's called Are You Smarter Than a Hockey Guy? Today we'll just be playing with Jordan versus Johnny. I've come up with these simple questions. I wouldn't be surprised if you guys went 5 for 5. So how it's going to work is you guys have a pen and paper in front of you. You're going to write down your answers. You're not going to blurt it out. And then when I say reveal, you're going to show the number, sentence, whatever. You're going to show it to the camera, and then I'll tell you what the right answer is. If you get it right, you get a point. If you get it wrong, you don't get a point. It's pretty easy. These are what I consider to be simple questions.
Okay, yeah, we'll see.
It's okay. It's up for interpretation, Marty.
Right. First question is, how many letters are there in the alphabet? Okay, you got both got your answers down?
Yep.
All right, you confident? Oh, okay, you're both right. That's 1-1.
I saw that on TikTok yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was thinking of that pickup line. it's like how many letters and okay, I'm not gonna tell it. Anyways, next question.
Okay, the next question is, what is the square root of 9? I don't know yet. Marty's gonna come up with his answer.
Okay.
All right, show.
Go, Johnny.
Johnny has 3.
Where the fuck did you get 2.81? Are you serious?
Yeah, I thought you had
this. You thought it was 9 times 9.
Yeah.
Oh, that was 81?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 2.81.
That would be the only answer that would be funnier than 81.
It's 2.81.
It's like, oh my God.
For the record, I had a 3.96 GPA.
Yeah, for the record, Marty did have the highest GPA by far out of the three of us, so we can't really say anything.
I can only imagine what it would be if you took math classes.
Oh my God, that was funny. Okay. I almost choked. Mance, okay, but one thing I'll say is sometimes those simple questions will get you.
Yeah.
Like
my immediate thought was 3. And then I changed.
And then you second guessed. Yeah, I know.
Especially after not doing stuff for a while. I remember one time going back to school, I was writing something. I went to write the word of, like OF, and I put OV.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Bad bounce.
Okay. Third question. How many units are there in a baker's dozen?
Oh, I honestly don't. I don't know.
See, this one was up for interpretation when I looked up the answer.
Boy,
is it 6 or 13?
I don't know.
12 is a dozen.
What's your pick?
Marty, 12 is a dozen.
Yeah, well, isn't a baker's dozen just a dozen, but it's made with love?
No, but it's got to be something different, or else it would just be called a dozen.
No, but they're fresh.
Is a baker's dozen 13?
From the research that I've done, it is in fact 13.
It is, okay.
But I couldn't tell you why.
Maybe because like sometimes bakers, like if you're like you're a repeating customer, they'll sneak you a little extra muffin. So you're like, I want a dozen, but because it's the baker's dozen and you're a good person, they snuck you a little extra one. Right?
Mm. Yeah.
Sure. Well, there's 0 points each there. Johnny's winning 2-1.
I got it.
It's the theory behind it is a baker's dozen is 13 because the theory is that bakers used to skimp out on ingredients and they wouldn't give you the actual ingredients. So now that the theory is that they put extra in, which is a little bit more than a dozen, to give you that a little extra, I think. That's what I understand from Google.
I like my theory better.
But anyways, 13 is the right answer.
You're not giving Johnny a point there, are you?
I'm not going to give him a point because he didn't write an answer on his score sheet.
Yeah.
But that would mean you're still up 2-1, Johnny.
Yeah, totally fair.
What did he get right?
He got the 26 letters in the alphabet.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, I know. You're up 2-1. Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, fourth question. How many continents are there on planet Earth?
Oh, God. Yeah, right. I'm going to get this right.
Continents, not countries, continents.
Johnny, you know the answer?
I'm pretty sure I do.
Are you confident with it?
I'm a little confident, but if it's wrong, I'm going to be pretty fucking
pissed. Just guessing. I honestly have no idea.
Show them. 7 is the correct answer. There's not 11 consonants.
Okay, so I got a point there. Johnny wrote 11.
Yeah, so Johnny, you got...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right, eh?
I can't wait till we release the clip of this.
Okay.
11 continents.
Oh, fuck. Okay. The last question. Obviously, everyone's heard the news that Queen Elizabeth has passed away. So this last question revolves around her. Okay? Johnny, I'm sure you're going to get this. Marty, I'm not 100% sure you're going to get this. How many years did Queen Elizabeth II serve as the queen?
Got it.
Of course he does. Like,
yeah, I knew he would know it.
It's all over the news.
I don't watch the news.
Why? I have a phone.
Can I use a phone a friend?
I'll give you a hint, Marty.
Okay.
Before I give you the hint, do you know how old she was when she passed away?
94?
96.
Okay. She was 96. She was in her mid to late 20s when she became the queen. I wouldn't say late.
Yeah, I'm just going to guess.
Oh, you're so close. She was 70 years.
1952, bud.
So close. She was given that she was made. I mean, how do you say it? How she was inaugurated as the queen when she was 26, right, Johnny?
Yeah.
That's a long time to serve.
She's the longest serving monarch in history.
Yeah.
In British history. Sorry.
So yeah,
that's close there.
Yeah, you were close, Marty. We'll give you that. I didn't expect you to know that one. I knew Johnny would know it. Just because
he watches the news, right?
He wakes up and watches BBC and CNN, so
yeah.
And he also has a phone, so
yeah, that's true. Phone.
That, yeah, it's been a pretty big story globally.
Yeah, huge deal.
Yeah, that's why.
Well, I think this game will be fun when we get people on here.
Yeah, exactly.
When we get people that are like legitimately smarter than us on here.
Right. Yeah, it'll make it it'll be fun. All right. That concludes today's episode. Thank you for tuning in as usual. And we'll see you next week. Cheers, boys. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.